Good morning. Good to see everyone out this morning. Thankful that you're here. Before we begin, I know I look a little strange. I had a miscommunication with my barber. It's turned into one of those I said and she heard kind of things. We decided to stay together and work it out. And plus, I can't get enough people telling me how much I look like my dad. And so I decided to just go ahead. But no, I'm thankful that you're here and looking forward to today. I'm excited about today's lesson. As was mentioned in the announcements, I've been teaching the middle school class this quarter. And all quarter, we've been working on putting this lesson together. They wrote the points. They made the PowerPoint. And we've talked through a lot of the points together in class. And so I want to give them the credit for writing it. I still have to present it. So don't judge that much of the lesson. But make sure you mention to them and you encourage them for the work that they did. I'm excited about it. I think they are. We've been looking forward to this week, or this whole quarter. What we talked about this quarter was respect in all aspects of life. That was what our book was called. And when I first got it, and our very first class was, what do you think we're going to talk about? Respecting your parents. And that's what I thought. But you know, as we studied, and as we started going through the lessons, and really, we just started talking about respecting parents within the last week or two. We spent a lot more time talking about when the Bible talks about respect and what it means to your life and what it means to you as you're becoming an adult and as you're growing up. And so we had a lot of really good discussions. They were really interested in the subject, and it wasn't quite as droll and boring as I thought it was going to be when we first got the book. And so I would like to just say, if you don't know who the middle school children are, I shouldn't say children, sorry guys, students, Audrey Bond, Mandy Hobson, Avery Hosfield, Reagan Mainers, Vinnie Petrie, and Rainey Watson. And I helped a little bit too. But I want to give them the credit for putting the lesson together, writing the points, making the PowerPoint, and getting the lesson ready together today. So we're going to talk about respect today. And the first thing we want to look at is, what is respect? What does that mean? You know, it depends on who you are and where you come from and what situation you're in. We may all have a different idea of what the word respect really means. So the first thing that we did was we looked it up in a dictionary, and this is the definition that we found. It means to have esteem for or a sense of the worth or excellence of a person, a personal quality or ability, or something considered as a manifestation of a personal quality or ability. And we all kind of looked at each other and thought, okay, what does that mean? So we spent some more time looking at different definitions from different places, and we talked about it for a while, and what does it really mean? And we looked at, in our Bibles, what's the Bible talking about when it talks about respect? And most of the time, when it translates the word, most of our translations translate that word as honor. So when you read about honoring your parents, honoring one another, honoring the emperor, it's talking about respect. That's the kind of respect we're talking about. So we looked at that. We looked at some of the definitions that we had found. And then as a class, we wrote our own definition, put it on a big poster board, and we hung it up in the room. And you can see it if you go back there. But this is what we came up with as a class. Is that respect is obeying rules, honoring and showing value to God, others, and myself. And so those are going to be our 3 points this morning. We're going to talk about respect in all aspects of life. And first we're going to talk about where it all starts, and that's our respect for God. Talk about honoring God and respecting Him. And what does that mean? And what does that look like? And how do we do that? We're going to talk about respect for others. Respect for different people that we know. That's going to include our parents. We're also going to talk a little bit about respect in a marriage relationship. Respect for our friends and our peers. For our brethren. And lastly, we're going to end with respect for ourselves. And talk about how God wants us to respect ourselves. So that is the 3 points that we're going to talk about this morning. I will tell you that there's a lot of scriptures in the lesson today, which is a good thing, and I'm proud of them for that. You don't need to have your Bibles out today. You can follow along if you want, but all the scriptures will be projected on the screen, so you can follow along that way if you'd wish. So first of all, we're going to talk about respect for God. Why do we respect God? What does respect for God mean? Once again, we talked about in Scripture, in the Bible, most of the time it's translated honoring. So when we honor God, why do we do that? What's the point of that? first point that we came up with is we honor God because He is the Creator. In Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 1 it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters," in Genesis. Genesis 1, actually verse 1 and verse 2. So we honor God and we respect God, number one, because He's the Creator. He created everything. Everything that we have, everything that we see around us, who we are, what kind of people we are, that was all created by God. And so for that fact alone, because He created us and made everything, we should honor and respect Him. Also in verse 27 of Genesis chapter 1 it says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them." And yes, God created everything, but even more so, He created man, His greatest creation. And why is that? Because, as the Scripture says, we're made in His image. He made us with characteristics that He has. He made us like Him. And so, we're important to Him through that, but also, in reference to what our lesson is today and what we're talking about, is the respect and the honor that we give to God is because of His creation, because Him creating us and making us who we are and what we are, we should have respect for God. Our second point is that why do we respect God? Well, it's because of the love and the care that He has for us. This is probably a very familiar scripture to you in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God loves us. And because of His love, we should respect and honor Him. Not only just because of His love, but He took it a step further and He sent Christ to die for us. Just as we partake of the Lord's Supper already this morning, commemorating that death and His resurrection, that sacrifice that He made. God gave us that sacrifice because He loves us. And therefore, we ought to respect and honor God because of the sacrifice He made for us, because of His love and His care for us. Also in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, it says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." And some of your translation or your version may say, "Casting all your anxiety on Him." So all of our worries and the things that we fret about and that we stress out about, God does care. He cares about those things. And He tells us, "Bring them to Me because I care. I want to know. I want you to talk to Me. I want you to tell Me about it." God cares about us. So because of the love that He has for us in sending His Son, and His care that He has for us in sending His Son, and in wanting to help us bear our burdens and help us in our life, we should respect and honor God. Also, another reason to respect and honor God is because He is the judge. He will judge us, and He will decide if our life has been right or if it's been wrong. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Why should we respect God? Why should we honor God? Because He's the ultimate judge. We're going to appear before Him, we're going to go before Him, and we're going to give an account for the life that we've lived and the things that we've done, the decisions that we've made, the things that we've said, the way that we've acted, the way that we treated other people. Everything that we've done, we're going to have to go before God and show to Him. Now, He already knows, obviously, but we respect and we honor Him because He is the judge. He is going to judge our life. He is going to judge the way we have lived and decide what kind of life we have had, whether it's been good or bad. So we need to honor and respect Him because of His judgment for us. Also, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, just as Jesus, and He says, "Not everyone who says to Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of My Father in heaven." And we spent a lot of time over the last couple weeks in our class talking about there's a big difference between respecting someone and obeying them. Now, you can obey someone and not respect them at all. We talked a lot about, remember, earned respect versus dutiful respect. That took a long time to figure out what that means. But we can respect someone because of their position, but we could not respect them because of who they are. And God says He is going to judge us based on the things that we do. We can obey. We can do what He says, but have we really done His will? if we're just obeying and just going through the motions. He wants us to submit our wills to Him. And so not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, not everyone who just obeys is going to enter in, but those who have done His will and done the things that God has asked us to do. So He's going to judge us on those things. He's going to judge our life. He's going to judge what we've done and what we have been. And so we ought to honor and respect Him for that reason. Lastly, we looked at the fact that nothing is impossible for God. There's nothing that He can't do. And so there's a reason to honor and respect God. And we looked at a couple different things, but we noticed in Luke chapter 1, if you'll remember, that is the time when the angel has come to Mary. And she is a virgin, and the angel tells her, you are going to have a child. If that were to happen today, we would say, that's not possible. That can't happen. But God said, but in Luke 1 verse 37, the angel says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. This is going to happen. You're going to have a child. I know biologically, you're saying this is impossible. But God says, I can do anything I want. Because I'm the Creator, I made things the way they are, and I'll decide how they're going to work this time. And He made that change. Nothing is impossible for God. And this kind of reminds us of another story. In Genesis chapter 18, this is God Himself speaking, and He's talking to Abraham in verse 14. If you remember, this is where you have Abraham's wife, Sarah, was 90 years old and had been barren her whole life. And God says, Sarah's going to have a child. Sarah's going to have a baby. And her thought was, this is not possible. This can't happen. And God says, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. God says, I know what biology is. I know how it works. I made it. But I'm going to change it this time. And Sarah is going to have a son. God can do anything He wants. Nothing is impossible for Him. So because He can do anything, and because He has all of that power, we need to honor and respect God in our lives, and honor Him and serve Him and love Him and give Him the respect and the honor that He is due because of who He is, because of what He's done, because nothing is impossible for Him. So we need to have respect for God, and we need to have respect for others. And we're going to look at three three points of how we can respect others. It all starts with our respect for God, of course, and that's going to carry down to how we treat other people. And so we're going to look at our parents, we're going to look at respect in marriage, and we're going to look at respect between our peers or our friends, or people that we know or our brethren. So those are three things we're going to look at there. And of course, we're in middle school class, and so we started with Ephesians chapter 6, and verses 1 and 2, when it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. And I kind of already mentioned it once, but you know, we spend a lot of time looking at these two verses. It says, children, obey your parents. I'm talking to the kids now, wherever they are. Okay? Obey your parents. But it also says, honor your father and mother. Can you obey your parents, but yet not honor your father and mother? Is that possible? They say, David, go clean your room. Ugh! I'm busy right now. I don't want to. You guys always ruin my fun, and I gotta go clean my room, and I don't want to. But he goes and cleans his room anyway. He obeyed his parents, but has he honored his father and mother? Okay, we spent a lot of time talking about that. But there's a big difference between honoring and obeying. Can I tell everything we talked? No, I won't. But there was a lot to that, and really, you know, that we all kind of chuckle because the majority of us are parents in here and we know how it works. But that's kind of an interesting concept even for you and I as adults in our relationship to God. You know, we can obey God. We can do what He says. We can go through the motions. We can technically obey. But how many times do we dishonor God by our attitude, by the way we go about our life? We may do the right things, we may obey, but we may not be honoring. And just for the kids, you may obey your parents, but you need to stop and think, okay, am I actually honoring them? And when it says this is the first commandment with a promise, that goes back to Exodus 20 verse 12. when it says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This goes back to when the Ten Commandments were given. God wanted this from the very beginning. Way back when He gave the Ten Commandments to the Israelites, this was one of them, for children to honor their father and mother. Now, I know there's a part of that that carries on with us for the rest of our lives as we grow up and we become adults, and that's part of that too, but for the sake of what we talked about, children are to honor and obey or respect their parents. You know, we also looked at families are important to God. God has over and over and over again given us rules and I hate to say the word rules, but ways that we should treat our family and how we should treat one another. And in Colossians chapter 3, he kind of goes through the whole gamut of everybody that's in a family. In verse 17 he says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, or obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And we talked about this passage, and it talks about in everything that you do, we need to be respectful of God. And that's pretty much going to cover you the rest of the way. If you're doing what God wants you to do, you're going to follow through with everything else. Sometimes we need a little bit more explicit instructions. And he talks to wives and tells them how to treat husbands. He tells husbands how to treat their wives. Children, once again, to obey their parents. And I brought this passage up, and we were talking about it and talking about what it means. And one of the students said, raised their hand, yes. Well, doesn't that mean that the parents are supposed to respect the children? Yes, it does. It does say that. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. That's a tough one for this father. Because I know usually what a decision is going to lead to, and I want to stop it over here. And if you won't listen to me, why won't you listen? I know. Don't you know? I know these things. I've been through this. And you get exasperated, and you want to tell them no, or you want to make a decision for them, or you want to change something they're doing. And as parents, there's a side for us to respect them. Okay, I put this in for you guys, okay? And so there's a point for us to respect our children and respect who they are and where they're at in their life. You know, I struggle with this. I want my 12-year-old to act like a 25-year-old. You know, it doesn't work. He's 12, okay? He's going to do things that don't make any sense. He's going to make decisions that probably not the smartest thing to do. He knows that. I know that, and sometimes we need to stop and let them be the age that they are. Let them do the things that they're going to do. They're going to grow up. They're going to mature. They're going to make mistakes, just like God with us. You know, how many times do we disappoint our Father? How many times do we make decisions that I can just see God, now that I've been a father, see God sitting back and think, what is He doing again? How many times have I been over this with Him? How many times have we talked about this? And He's doing it again. How many times has God done that with us? And we need to carry that on with our children and respect them, respect who they are, respect what's going on in their lives. They have struggles. They have questions. They have problems. And sometimes we want to think, well, because they're children, we'll just kind of sweep them aside. It's really not that big a deal. Don't worry about it. To them, it's a big deal. And for us, when we were kids, it was a big deal. And so we do need to have respect for them. We need to respect who they are and what they're about. Our families are important to God. And a lot of times we focus on the marriage relationship and the respect that's there between a husband and a wife, or the children to the parents. But there's another relationship there of the parents to the children. We need to have respect for them. God wants that in our families. And we can honor God by having respect and honor for our children as well. We also talked about in the marriage relationship and Mark Royals was here and probably said more about this better than I ever could. But in Ephesians chapter 5, I'll just read through this passage once again to remind us of what it means and what it is and what God wants in our family, and we respect each other. When he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So God, like we've said, families are important to God. And just like children need to respect and honor their parents, the Bible teaches, the Bible also teaches between a husband and a wife, they should respect and love each other. And the model for that is by looking at, as the passage says, Christ and the church. Just as Christ loves us, we submit and respect to Him. A father or a husband and wife has that same relationship. That he loves the wife, he sacrifices for her, and she respects him and submits to him, and that's how the relationship works. Doesn't mean one is better than the other or one is more important. That's the way God has instituted it. That's the way He set it up for us. And that's what He wants in our families, is for a husband and a wife to love and respect each other. Also, in looking at respect for others, we looked at respect for our peers or our friends, our brothers, people that we meet, people that we know. In Matthew 7, in verse 12, I'm sure this is a passage that even the little kids, the young kids, could quote to us when it says, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. In other words, what we commonly say is, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That seems so simple, and like I said, we teach kids that when they are probably can't even walk, we start teaching them that. But yet, even as adults, how many times do we need to sit back and think about the other person? What are they going through? How do they feel? If the way I'm getting ready to react to what they just said or what's getting ready to happen, is that the way I would want to be treated? Is that the way I would want somebody to talk to me? You know, it's kind of funny. You know, driving is just a good illustration for a lot of things. You're going down the interstate, and pretty much everybody that's driving faster than you is a maniac, and everybody that's slower than you is a moron. Isn't that kind of funny? And we all chuckle, but is that not true? This my way is always the right way. Whatever speed I'm going, that's correct, right? Because nobody goes the speed limit anyway. And we do that, you know, that's just kind of a funny illustration, but how many times do we do that in other aspects of our life? You know, the way that I conduct myself, of course, now not getting out of bounds of what God says, of course, you know, we're not taking it too far, but the way that I am or the way that I've handled a certain situation, we're all different. We all do things differently. And we need to stop and think about, how would I want others to treat me? How much grace would I want someone else to give me if I made this mistake or I said this thing over here or I made this decision and I wish I could go back and change it, but I can't? How would I want someone to treat me in that situation? We need to remember that. We need to remember that, what we call the golden rule. It's so simple, but yet it can really impact and change our lives. God wants us to respect others. He wants us to have a respect and an honor and a love for other people. Also in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 17, this was in our scripture reading this morning, but this pretty much covers everything. When he says, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. We don't have emperors today. We have a president, and we have governors, and we have different authority figures in government over us. You may not like the authority figure that's in our government. You may not like the way our government is. And that goes back to where we talked about that dutiful versus earned respect. They may not have earned your respect, but we give them a dutiful respect because of the position that they're in. You know, when this was written, when he says honor the emperor, at the time, that emperor was kidnapping Christians and torturing them and putting them to death, if you were lucky, really. Torturing them and putting them to death. And he says, honor the emperor. Now, you may not like our president, or you may not like the governor, or whatever it is in the government. You may not like the decisions that they make. But they haven't started kidnapping and torturing people yet. They were doing that then. when Peter wrote this book, that was happening. And Peter says, God says, honor the emperor. So how much more honor, how much more respect should we have for our government officials? And not just government officials, but he says for everyone. Honor everyone. Respect everyone. No matter what they look like or where they came from or how they act. Now, obviously, once again, not getting out of the bounds of what God has said, not anything sinful. But we're not all the same. We don't all make the same kinds of decisions in our lives. We don't all live our lives quite the same way in the bounds of being righteous before God. But he says, honor everyone. We need to have a respect. God wants us to have a respect for everyone and love the brotherhood, especially our brethren. And how many times do we get into arguments with each other? When something has happened, they've made some kind of mistake, and it goes back to that golden rule. And we don't remember, how would I want somebody to treat me if I made that mistake? And we forget about that, and we push that aside, and we don't honor them. We don't respect them as we should. So, respect for others is important to God. He wants us to have a respect for others in our life. Our last point that we're going to go over is a respect for self. Now, immediately, you kind of put a wall up. Oh, respect for self, that's really not that important. It really doesn't matter. We're too focused on, these kids are too focused on their self-esteem and all that stuff. You know what? That's true. And a lot of times that does happen, and a lot of times we sacrifice principles for self-esteem, and I get that, and I agree. But yet, as I look through Scripture, there's a lot of times when God says, treat others the way that you want to be treated. Well, I got to have some kind of respect for myself. Husbands, treat your wife as your own flesh. Well, I got to have some kind of respect for myself. And so respect for self, it is important, and it is biblical, and God does talk about it. And beyond talking about just my self-esteem, but having a respect for myself and the way that we talked about it in class was for my life and my lifestyle and the decisions that I make are going to impact me and impact my relationship with God. And so we want to have a respect for ourselves and that we're going to make the right kinds of decisions to draw us closer to God. So we're going to look at a few different things in talking about respect for ourselves. First thing we talked about is Scripture talks about your body as a temple. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, it says, Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Right there it says, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you. That's where He dwells. And I'm not going to get into all the dwelling of the Holy Spirit and what that all means. But just in a general form, in a general way, God says, the Bible says, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Have you ever driven someone else's car? How do you drive their car? Very carefully, I hope, if you borrow mine. Because it's not yours. And if something happens to it, if something happens to my car, that happened. I dinged the door, okay. But if I'm in someone else's car and I ding the door, oh, I feel horrible. Because it's not mine. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to them, and I just messed it up. Well, God says, your body is not your own. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Him. It belongs to the Holy Spirit. He dwells within us. And that covers a lot of different things. We can go in a lot of different directions with that point and what it means. But the way that we live our lives and the way that we, and this goes beyond just what we do to our bodies and just not talking about necessarily just fornication or alcohol or drugs or any of those things that would harm our physical bodies, but who we are belongs to God. And we need to live our lives with that respect. And so having a respect for ourselves is having a respect for the body that we have beyond just the physical body, but who we are, that it doesn't belong to us, it belongs to God. Another point that we looked at is the point of modesty. And we have mostly ladies in our class. And so this came up a little bit. And usually this is something that is more effective to women, something that they struggle with more. But really, there's a point for all of us in this. And look at 1 Timothy 2:9. It says, likewise also, women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. Now, usually when we talk about this point, we're talking about how short something is or how tight it is or how low, or and we get focused on all those things. And you know, I'll agree with that, and there's a place for that, but I might take you to a different passage to talk about it. In this passage here, he's talking about, it doesn't have any mention of sexuality or lasciviousness. He's talking about braided hair and gold and pearls and costly attire. He's talking about something totally different. And without getting into all the meat and potatoes of what all those words mean, if we just kind of scan back and look at what he's talking about, I think what he's saying here is, whether you're talking about a flashy dress, a manner of dress, with the gold and the costly things, or we're talking about things that are too revealing, that are, either way, you're drawing attention to yourself. And I think in modesty, what he's talking about is, don't make who you are all about what you look like. And that can go beyond the clothes that we wear, or the way we have our hair cut or not cut or whatever. It goes beyond those things. It goes to, don't make who you are the car that you drive. Don't make who you are the house that you live in. Don't make who you are the group of friends that you have at school. Make who you are about the person inside. And have that respect for yourself, that who you are, or what people notice about you, is the person that you are, not what you look like. And that's the point I think he's trying to make. Also, it's made again in 1 Peter 3, verses 3 through 4. He's talking to women here again, but also I think there's a point for all of us. When he says, don't let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. And we spend a lot of time talking about if you are a lady, and the only way you can get a man to notice you is by the way that you dress, whether scantily clad or flashy dress. If that's the only way you can get his attention, you don't want him. And if you are a man and the only way you can get a lady to notice you is by the kind of car that you drive or the money that you have, you don't want her. What you want is someone who can do what verse 4 says, to let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart. Have respect for yourself. Have the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. So when you're dating, you're looking at men and women to spend time with and be with, that's what you want to look for. You want to look for that hidden person of the heart. We talked about that quite a bit, of what that means and how that's going to impact your life. And have enough respect for yourself to make that kind of decision. That's what God wants for us. So modesty goes beyond just, is everything covered properly? It goes beyond that to, who are we and what kind of person are we in our life and before God? Also, we talked about, have respect for yourself, because your influence and your example is important to God. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, it says, by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. People are looking at us. People are judging the church. They're judging God. They're judging all of us by what you do and by what I do. And so if I come across as I'm better than everyone else, or I know more than you, or shame on you for making all these sinful decisions that I don't make, what kind of influence are we having? What kind of example are we for others? What kind of impact are we going to have to draw them closer to God? Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Who gets the glory for the life that we live and the things that we know? God does. We need to make sure we're giving Him the glory. We're not taking the glory on for ourselves. Also in Matthew 5, in verses 13 through 16, it says, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, Let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So when we're out there with our example and our influence, it's important to God because it's to glorify Him. Not for us. It's not to glorify us. It's not to make people notice us and notice how good we are and what great people we can be. It's to give the glory to God. And so, has our salt lost its flavor? Is your light shining like it should? Those are the things that is important to God. He wants our light to shine. He wants that glory to go to Him. And as we talked way back at the beginning, He deserves all that respect and honor because of all the things that He's done and all the things He is doing and all the things He's given us in life. We need to respect and honor Him, and our influence is important to Him, and we need to have a respect for ourselves that we're conducting ourselves that way so that God can be glorified through the things that we do. And circling back to where we started on this point as we look at the fact that God dwells in us. In this passage here, words it a little bit differently than we talked about before. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 19, it says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." So once again, we already talked about that our body is a temple. It's a building for God. God dwells in us. And we need to have a respect for ourselves because God is here. And God is in my life. And I need to have a respect for myself because He is with me. And going back to all the things we talked about that God has done and continues to do, we need to have that honor and respect for Him, but honor and respect ourselves because God dwells with us and He is with us in our life. So I hope that you found the lesson to be interesting this morning. If you'd like to, if you're using a songbook, if you'd like to take it out at this time, you can do that. We looked at 3 points today in respect in all aspects of life that we talked about in our class. Once again, they wrote the lesson, they put the PowerPoint together, and they did a good job, didn't they? Make sure you talk to them and tell them how much you appreciate what they've done. We talked about a respect for God and respect for others and respect for self. But all of these things that we talked about all go back to what is your relationship with God? Do you have a relationship with God? If you haven't been baptized, you haven't died with Christ, that's where you start. That's where you start with your respect. That's how you start honoring Him, is being baptized, giving your life to Him, and putting that old man to death and rising to walk with Him again. And as I look over to the audience, I know there's some in that situation, but there's many more of us that are Christians and are a part of God's family. And a lot of times when we talked about earlier, about the difference between obeying and honoring, a lot of times we'll obey, but we don't honor. We dishonor God by an attitude that we have or something that we've done or just totally disregarding what He's said and what He's given, and I'm going to make my own decision and I'm going to disobey anyway. We've all been there. We've all done that. We all do that. And if there's something in your life that you'd like to correct, if you would like for us to pray with you, pray for you, you need our help, we'd invite you to come forward now and let us know as we stand and sing.